Welcome to Promised Land at Home podcast, where we bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. Wherever life has you, we pray that today's sermon both challenges and encourages you. We're so glad you're listening today and hope you enjoy the message.
Get your Bibles out, everybody. Turn with me to the book of Romans, the 16th chapter. While you're doing that, I want to make sure that everybody in here, if you have not done it yet, please fill out one of these blue cards once in the month of September. So if you haven't filled one of these out yet, please grab one right now in the seat back in front of you and fill it out. All you got to do is put one number at the bottom, and that's the number of people that came in your car today. That's it. So as you leave today, you can place this in the little black box on your way out. We're doing this to research and figure out survey how many people come to our church in a one-month time frame. And this is helping us plan for future growth when it comes to like Sunday school classrooms, how many parking spots do we need, ministries that we need to create. And so this is one piece of information that's really going to help us out. So just if you've already filled it out, you don't need to do it again. Just one time in the month of September, that will help us out greatly. I did have them pass out to you sermon notes. I'd love for you to take these out, some little fill in the blanks. And man, they printed them in color today. How awesome is that? That's fancy notes today. So if you're online, you guys can follow along with us on a, you know, your own scratch paper or whatever you got there. We're in a series called Masterclass, and I'm not sure if you've seen this online, but I get asked for it all the time about all these famous people that are teaching classes. So you can take a class on comedy, you can take a class on real estate, you can take a class on acting, or you know, small business, advertising, and the people that teach these classes are famous people that are really good at whatever it is that they're teaching. And it's called Masterclass. And I've always wanted to have a series called Masterclass here, and so we started it last week. And we're taking masters, what we're going to call masters from the first century. They're in the Bible, they're referenced in the Bible, but they're not really people you've probably heard a lot about. And so I love digging in and finding figures in the Bible that are inspirational and strong. And let's see what they can teach us about discipleship. We all need to learn more about discipleship, and these people can teach us a lot. So in the first century, letters were a really big deal. People would write letters back and forth. It was the main way to communicate across a big distance. And so there's a man named Paul, one of the big figures of the New Testament, was writing letters to churches in other towns. So they would write a letter to the church in Philippi, or the church in Corinth, or the church in Rome. And these people would receive these letters, and man, it was a big deal when they got a letter from Paul. They would read the letter. The letter would be read to them. Remember, they didn't have a Bible back then. There was the Torah, the Old Testament, but not every family had a big Torah in the living room, right, on the coffee table. It was mainly an oral tradition, a memorized tradition. So they would take these letters from Paul, and they would get instruction, they would get correction sometimes, they would get practical teaching on how to have a church service. The church in Corinth struggled with, you know, several things, and so he was very clear, very practical about this person can talk then, this person can talk that, and da-da-da-da-da. You know, he's very practical in the letters, but mainly he was very, very clear about theological things, so doctrine in these letters. So over time, these churches collected these letters, read them, memorized them, passed it on from person to person, town to town. And that's really how the church flourished in establishing strong doctrinal belief and strong church culture. And over the decades, these letters were then collected and have become our New Testament. The majority of the New Testament are letters written by Paul to these churches throughout the first century, all across Asia and Europe. And so I'm telling you that story because the person that we're studying today, her name is Phoebe. And some of y'all know Phoebe. The only Phoebe you know is probably from Friends. This is a different Phoebe. Okay. Original. The original Phoebe. The OP. Anyway. So, she was the person that was going to deliver the letter from Paul to the church in Rome. They didn't have FedEx then. They didn't have UPS. They didn't have a postal service. They didn't have Pony Express. I mean, the way to get a letter from one place to the next was someone hand delivering it. And they didn't just like, hey, I need you to take this letter to Rome. And someone ran over there, grabbed it, and took off. What historians believe happened was that somebody like Phoebe would have gone and spent a lot of time with Paul. And she lived in a little town close to where Paul was staying in Corinth, and about 8 miles away. So she would go travel over there, spend some time with Paul. Why they believe that is that back in those days, there wasn't punctuation in their written language. And so in order for someone to really know the inflection and the tone and the pacing and all that of the letter, Phoebe would have to have listened to Paul read it himself. And so for weeks or maybe even months, she sat with Paul as he was teaching her and downloading this information into her. So she would have taken a parchment of some sort, and she would have had probably memorized the whole thing in here as well, so that when she finally got to Rome, she was able to hand them something, and then she was able to declare it to them in a way that Paul would have declared it to them. You understand? It's kind of like online streaming. She was taking the word from Paul and sending it to them via her ability to deliver that message. And just the journey itself was a big deal. That town of Corinth and area where she was from down there, it's in the southern part of modern-day Greece, right on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea. So she probably traveled some by land, some by water, but it would have taken her weeks, if not months, to get all the way from where she was, all the way around the boot of Italy up to Rome, you know, about halfway up the country there. And just the depth of what she went through is a big deal. We only get two verses, and it's in this letter that she's delivering. So you can imagine it's probably awkward for her to read this particular part of the letter, but nonetheless, Paul wrote it in a minute, and we can glean a lot from it. So this is Romans, the 16th chapter, and the first and second verse. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church of Kenchreae, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. So that's all we have of this amazing person, Phoebe, but he uses three powerful words to describe her, and we're going to extrapolate from that a message from her life, from the master, Phoebe. But before we jump into that, I want to give you a tool that every person in here can use. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be approved by me or, you know, have a degree or anything to use this. This is a Bible study tool that is incredibly powerful that I want to share with you. It's called blueletterbible.com. Write that down, blueletterbible.com. It's also BLB. You can do the abbreviation, blueletterbible.com. It is an exhaustive resource on every single word in the Bible. So here's a picture up on the screens. On the side screens, you can see that there's a little search bar at the very top. You can put a word in there, like tree, money, love, God, Jesus, whatever. And when you hit enter, it's going to give you every single scripture in the Bible that is including that particular word, okay? Very, very powerful way to study the scripture. That's called a word study. You know, maybe you want to find out what the Bible says about grace. What is grace? You know, you can put the word grace in there. It'll give you every scripture. The other thing you can do is you could put a particular verse. So I put in there Romans 16:1. And you can see on the screen, it gives you just down a little bit. Romans 16:1 gives you the actual verse. And then below that, it gives you every word in that verse. And it gives you the original word written in the original language. In this case, it's Greek. You can click, look at the very first one, says, I commend. So the word he used for I commend is a word there. I'm not going to say it because I don't know how to say it. But here's something that's really cool. See that little audio symbol there, the little speaker symbol? You can click that and a guy will tell you how to say it. And that's how I can tell you Kekrei. That's the city that she was from, which if you were to read it just in English, it's like Chinchuria or something like that. But I can sound very smart up here. Say Kekrei. I listened to that about 15 times this week over and over again. So I could sound like that. Anyway, so you can hear the sound of it. If you click on that number, 4921, then it will give you the definition in depth of that particular Greek word. And so I know not everybody in here is interested in doing that level of study, but I want to release and empower you guys to study the Bible. It can actually be a fun thing, a very rewarding thing. You're going to see the Bible come to life in a lot of ways when you begin to go on this level of study. Okay, so let's go back to Phoebe. We learned three powerful things from the Apostle Paul about Phoebe. And the first one is the way he describes her as our sister. Our sister. So the first blank there on your notes is that disciples are family. Now, when I was growing up in my church, everyone was Brother Steele, Sister Gonzalez, you know, that kind of stuff, or maybe Sister Mary, or, you know, the stuff like that. It was very much the culture of the Bible, honestly, that we are not just associates, and we're not just friends, but we're family. There's a depth to our relationship that goes beyond just knowing each other, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because basically, the whole message last week was about community and, you know, us being family. But I do want to just say this one little simple thing, and that is that everybody in here, in this room right here, that comes into a relationship with God becomes family with one another. And I want you to just allow that definition, that word, to just kind of wash over you a little bit. Just kind of, you know, change your perspective on what it means to be a part of a church. You may be thinking, well, I don't fit in here. I'm not a part of this group. I haven't joined the church or whatever. How could I possibly be in the family? Well, there's good news. Jesus Christ wants to adopt you. Are y'all with me today? Jesus Christ wants you in his family. You don't have to go earn your way into this group. You don't have to go prove yourself into this group. Because of what Jesus Christ did, he welcomes you in. Come on in. You're a part of my family. I want you. I need you. He desires relationship with us, and not just as a coworker, not just as an associate, not just someone that is known, but you're my sister. So he tells them, this is our sister. This woman that is bringing you this message is our sister. The second word he uses is servant. Servant. She's a servant. The word he used there, the original words, diakonos, which is the word we get deacon from. But if you were to just hear the word deacon, that's like it's a very old English word that not a lot of people use. In this context, it just means servant. She's a servant, and she's serving the people of God. Paul only uses this particular word five times in the Bible to describe five different people. And so that puts Phoebe in a pretty elite group of people, right? And so this is why, this is one of the reasons why I picked her to bring the word today, is because she was a very unique person. She was a servant. Now, Jesus tells us the same principle, and he was telling us, like, you know, the world will tell you if you're a king, people serve you. If you're rich and powerful, you have slaves. If you have prestige, then people are going to want to be around you and give you things and be gracious to you. But Jesus said, I have a different kingdom, and in my kingdom, this is what he says in Matthew 20, 26, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever will be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man, that's him, Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is a powerful moment when Jesus was giving his disciples some of his final teachings before he went to the cross, and he leans down and kneels down and begins to wash their feet. And Peter is like, no way, you're not washing my feet. You're the master. You're the teacher. You're the savior. And Jesus says, no, this is a pivotal point that you've got to learn. In my kingdom, the great people are the ones that are serving. The people that serve are the great ones. So if you want to be a part of my kingdom, you're going to do what I'm doing, and you're going to serve other people. You're going to get on your feet, and you're going to get on your knees and wash other people's feet. You're going to find ways to humble yourself, and your clout is not going to come because you've postured yourself and puffed yourself up. Look how important I am. Look how smart I am. Look how much I know. Look how much power. No. Your position of being humble and on your knees is actually going to be the way that people understand who you are. That you're like me. Jesus said, I'm doing this, and I want you to be in that same posture. People who are great serve, and people who serve are great. Martin Luther King Jr. said, everyone can be great because anyone can serve. Isn't that good? When we went to Mexico this summer, we went to this place under a bridge where people got off a train. Now, when I talk about train, I'm not talking like Amtrak. I'm talking about, like, in the old days, we'd call them hobos or whatever. They were like illegally riding a train, running, jumping on the train. And they still do that in Mexico. There's migrant workers trying to find a place to make some money and go back and feed their family. A lot of them live in Central America under very harsh regimes, cartels, very, very difficult living situations. And they're trying to find a place to make some money for their family, and many of them walk for weeks before they got to the train, and they're very tired, very hungry, very scared, because they go into these towns and they get attacked and they get enslaved many times by the cartels to do their dirty work for them. And so as they come into this little suburb of León, we were there to serve them. And when I say serve them, we were going to feed them, and we were told, like, the night before, we're going to wash their feet. And when I heard them say that, I was like, we're going to what? I thought that was like a figurative thing in the Bible, like, wash their feet, you know? Like, no, we're gonna wash their feet. We're going to actually wash their feet. And I was thinking, I'm going to serve the sandwiches. I'm going to be over at the Kool-Aid in the sandwich table. And then immediately I felt convicted, and God was like, no, you're going to wash feet. So we get there that day, and there's about 30 men that are very timid. What are these white American people doing here? And what's this interact? They don't know what's going on. They just got there. And so we pull out the tables, and we start feeding them. And then one of the ladies in charge is like, okay. She starts setting out these buckets. And they had rubber gloves. But we started washing their feet. And they pulled their sandals off. And it was just Their feet were bleeding, calloused, dry, dirty. I mean, just a lot of them were wearing like sandals, so their feet were exposed to the elements and the rain and the heat and the dirt and all of that kind of stuff. So the first thing, we sprayed disinfectant on it, then we cleaned them. And do we have a picture? Were we able to get the picture? There are several people in our church there that are washing feet. And I'll never forget the moment I looked over without me saying anything to my 16-year-old son. He was just like manicuring this guy's foot. He literally had clippers out. He was clipping him. I'm like stunned. I'll never forget that moment with him, to see the humility and the servitude, and then to see the countenance change on these men's face, that they were loved, that they were received, that they were fed. And one of them, it was their birthday. His name was David. It was his birthday, and we all gathered around and sang happy birthday to him. And they did the English version and the Spanish version, and his smile on his face, just to see, to be in that moment. There's nothing like that. And I want to tell you, there's some of you that are going through difficult times, and you thought that the solution for your difficulty was to make more money or to meet more people or to get a different job or to get your degree or whatever, like, or for someone else to change maybe. But I'm here to tell you that probably the solution to your situation is you serving other people. And serving that other person is not necessarily going to solve your issue, but it's going to change your perspective. And you're going to be like, oh, wait, that's not as big of a deal anymore as I thought it was, because serving has repositioned you. It's put you in a different posture. That's what disciples do. Disciples serve each other. So important. So at Promised Land, there's many different ways to do that. We serve food here and at out at Redwood once a month. We have people that go to the jail, the prison, and Lockhart. Of course, we have what we call our dream team, which serves on Sundays, in production, musicians, singers, interpretation, teaching kids, students tonight. I mean, all these things that we have going on at Promised Land are all fueled by people that are serving other people, taking a portion of your life that you could be doing a lot of other things to build yourself up or to have fun or whatever. Instead, you're giving it away to someone else. So we're entering into the season of a lot of serving. We're going to have a clothing swap coming up. We're going to have all the holidays, you know, giving away turkeys and Christmas presents, and all that stuff's coming up, and we need people to serve. So be peeking your ears out to listen, to hear opportunities, and come to us and say, I'm ready. I'm ready to serve. The third and final word that he uses to describe Phoebe is patron, which is another word for benefactor, which is another word for supporter, a financial supporter. And so this teaches us, Phoebe teaches us a powerful lesson about discipleship, and that is that disciples give generously. The word patron, the original Greek word here that Paul uses, this is the only time in the Bible that he uses this word to describe another person. And so this puts Phoebe in an elite class of masters, right? Of generosity. This person is not just any person, but Phoebe financially supported a lot of people, and Paul says, including me. So there's not a lot of clarity on how she was able to do that. Was she starting her own business? Maybe her family was, blessed financially, had a business or whatever. But we know that it's from what he's saying here, it was very clear that she took care of, you know, like she, as a patron or a benefactor, that means you're covering the gap, you're taking care of, you're giving, you're taking it away from your possession and you're putting it into someone else's possession. the opposite of generosity is closed offness, right? A closed hand versus an open hand. Generous is open, stingy, miserly. And why does that happen? Well, it either happens because we're just in love with our own money so much, or we're afraid we're not going to have enough for ourselves, or we're afraid that if we give it to someone, they're going to waste it. I mean, there's many different barriers for us to being open. Anne Frank said something powerful. She said it like this. She said, no one has ever become poor by giving. No one ever becomes poor by being generous, because we live in the kingdom of God, which means when I am generous, I'm actually being like God, because God is a generous God. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, we see that God's a God of generosity. He's a God of giving. He's a God that releases stuff from himself and puts it into someone else's control and someone else's possession. So, you know, whenever you give something away, that high that you feel, so amazing, right? Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. What he's doing, what he's saying is you recognize that you're being, when you're generous, you're being like God, and there's this instant kickback that you get of like, man, that's awesome. It's so awesome to see the look on someone's face when you give them a present, or when you bless them with something financially, or take something that you control and you release control of it. You put it in the hands of God. Lord, I've done my part. I'm putting it into your hands. And I'm here to tell you that the blessing that comes to you is disconnected from whatever those people do with it. The blessing you get is from God. And you can never outgive God. That's why you'll never go poor being generous, because God's always going to bless you back. Would you stand with me right now? I want us to pray and go to God together. As I was speaking about being family, serving, being a patron, something possibly stirring in your heart, something possibly convicting, would you just close your eyes right now? What is it from God's word today that is speaking to you most profoundly? What is it maybe that challenged you, maybe excited you, whatever it was? It's God speaking to you. Maybe it's that he's welcoming you in as a family member. Maybe it is that it's time to step up and serve. Maybe it is to be generous. I'm not sure. Maybe it's all of them. I'm here to tell you, you're in the right place. You're in the right spot. It's time to respond. And if it's being in the family, then let's just talk to God about that right now. He's ready, willing, and able with open arms to receive you into the family, adopt you in. And like I said earlier, it doesn't have anything to do with you. It has everything to do with Jesus. Jesus did the work for you. And so what we're doing now is we're stepping out in faith in order to receive that relationship with God. So if you're ready for that, would you just pray with me right now? You can pray my own words that I'm saying. You can pray words that sound like them. But let's just go to God and say, Heavenly Father, I surrender my heart to you right now. I give you my life. I surrender my thoughts. I surrender my dreams. I surrender my possessions. Lord, I trust you. I don't understand everything. I don't have it all figured out. But God, I am wanting to walk with you from this day forward. Please forgive me. I'm in need of salvation. And I trust you, Jesus, as my Savior. We can all join in on this part and just say, Lord, that I would be a servant. Lord, that I would trust you in my resources, that I wouldn't be afraid, but instead I would step into generosity. I would step into that lifestyle and be like you, surrendering to your provision and your protection and your goodness. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, we want to connect with you. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Promised Land San Marcos, on Instagram at PSM Church, or on our website, psmchurch.com. Thanks again for listening to the Promised Land at Home podcast.